autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday at 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
Oscar's freeze. That's your cerebral cortex looking for an answer it doesn't have.
See? Even your brain knows you're screwed.
That is filling with adrenaline right now. Whether you know it or not, your heart's beating fast. It's getting a little harder to breathe. The neurobiological system is telling it to run, but your knees are too weak to move.
Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity. And do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. 100% listener-supported radio. Reporting the danger. Unafraid. Right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution. Revolution. Radio!
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Revolution Radio. This is Scott Bennett and Michael J. joining you on Wednesday, October 27th, 2021. And we're going to be joined by Tony Gosling, our intel expert radio host from Great Britain. And Tony's going to be enlightening us on some of the areas of research and work that he's been doing. So before we bring him on, let us open up. Father in heaven, we ask your blessing on Revolution Radio. Give us the words to speak, and let everything that we say and think be from you and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Michael J., before we bring on Tony Gosling, I'm going to hand it over to you to get your opening salvo and introduce the show. So go ahead, Michael J.
Well, thank you, Scott. I'm looking forward to having Tony on today. He has a perspective because it seems like Europe and Great Britain are fundamentally different in a number of ways that have to do with their response to the forced injections, the lethal injections that we've been talking about. And you see massive crowds of people, literally tens of thousands of people, and they are, in a way, making it clear to anybody who's listening that there is no way they're going to submit to this kind of a globalist agenda for genocide. They are saying no. They don't want the passports. They don't want the shots. And so it looks like that we're actually witnessing open warfare with respect to the people that have power, people that control our military, that control our police, that control our court systems. These people are definitely at war with the people. They were put in place maybe with fraud in their election, but they were put in place to represent the people, but they don't represent the people. They represent high-level, elitist, multinational, corporate strongholds. These are groups of people that have been controlled from behind the scenes for hundreds of years, and now they are making their push. Now it seems like they can't turn around. They can't back down, Scott, because they've been showing their hand. As far as it goes, it seems like when people have begun to realize these people are committing genocide, the reason why these people can't back down is because what justice will require is that all these people be put to death for crimes against humanity. Over to you. You're on mute, brother. Take yourself off mute. There you go.
So, Tony Gosling, I wanted to hand it to you to get your opening view. We were talking about some of the areas of research that you were doing before, and this COVID-19 thing, as we're accelerating into the winter months, I'm wondering what you're expecting to start coming out of this. What has been your area of research, and what has the intelligence and your sources been telling you? Tony Gosling, go ahead. Well, I think we may have lost him. Let me see. Unless he's on mute. Oh, we got him. Let's try him again.
This is happening all over the world, Scott. The people in Australia are saying no. People in Canada are saying no. People in Russia are saying no. The reality is there's many more of us than there are of them, but now it's evident that the people that are in positions of power have been abusing that power, and they don't plan to stop. Is our friend on the phone yet?
Tony, are you with us? He seems to be having some internet problems here. So we'll keep trying to add him on, but in the meantime, let's there's some internet funkiness going on. Well, this is interesting. There's a couple stories that I wanted to read from that we're gonna get Tony's feelings on, but I'll go ahead and read them until we bring him in. This was interesting. Russia advises countries bordering on Afghanistan to shut out NATO forces from the region after the Taliban takes control after U.S. withdrawal. So Russia is consolidating its control in this area of Afghanistan. And let's see, there's some other ones here. Here we go. Let me bring it up. Marjorie Taylor Greene introducing articles of impeachment for Joe Biden, which is a very interesting development. And also, you know, Mike, Vladimir Putin gave a speech at the Valdai conference last week. And the Valdai conference is a intellectual conference. It's a political conference that they hold. And I saw it on RT. They televised it. And I'll tell you, it was one of the most interesting and inspiring speeches that I've heard, because he was talking about wokeness, the woke culture, political correctness, the toxicity of it, the corrosive nature of it, the destruction of the terms mother and father, the nuclear family, and what this really is masquerading as. He went into the historical examples of Russia and its transformation under the Communist Party and the Bolsheviks and the culture, police. And it was very interesting to hear Putin say, Russia's been down this road before. It leads to nowhere. Nothing is new. All of this is just another attempt to destroy, God, family, and it's destroying Western civilization. And Russia will pursue a political agenda of healthy conservatism. And I thought that was a profound statement from Vladimir Putin. And note, he has been the only leader in the world, a political leader of Russia, one of the strongest nations in the world. Here is the president talking about the essentialness of preserving mother and father and family, and how insane. He called it a monstrous crime against humanity to try and convince little children that they can be little girls if they want, or little boys if they want, that sex and gender is interchangeable. He called this, quote, a monstrous crime against humanity. And I've never heard any political leader, any religious leader anywhere say those words. And I was applauding him. I was applauding him because it's exactly right. It is a crime against humanity. It is monstrous to be trying to tell little children that they can take hormone pills and transform into little girls or little boys. They can change their sex. They can wear wigs and pretend that they're lesbian, transvestite, transgenders. All of that, we have never heard anyone standing up and speaking against. Not Donald Trump, not Boris Johnson, not the Pope, not Angela Merkel, not anyone, who's Justin Trudeau, none of the Western leaders of the Western countries have stood up to defend the natural, organic family and notions of mother and father, except Vladimir Putin of Russia. And what does that tell you? Well, it tells me that he is speaking the God's own truth of the natural family and the natural organism, and he's calling out the evil of political correctness and wokeness, and the particular monstrosity behind trying to transform the sexual gender of people and the true agenda behind it. So I would encourage people to go up. I've got the commentary I did on it with Don Gron on my Patreon page, and people can see it because they'll take it down of YouTube, but it's on patreon.com/shellgame. People can also go to shellgamewhistleblower.com and it'll link you there. But I put it up there, commented on Vladimir Putin's speech because it's so profound and so needed that people understand. Vladimir Putin and the Russian Orthodox conservative people are not the enemies of the traditional family or Christianity or the American people. In fact, they may be the only preserving force behind the remnants and what's left of Western civilization that seems to be quickly disintegrating as a sandcastle, and probably is going to be accelerating in this disintegration given the torrents of migrant walking zombie savage invaders thundering up from south of the border. But Michael J., I'll hand it to you to get your comments on that. Go ahead.
Well, it's interesting, but didn't the Russian people have 80 plus years of horror in dealing with the globalist New World Order plans for world communism, world socialism, the destruction of the family, the destruction of all national sovereignties, the destruction of individual rights. I mean, 1984 was pointing out, by Orwell, was pointing out what happens when overthrow it in place about God creating man and a woman and blessing them and encouraging, exhorting giving them living words that said, be fruitful and multiply. This form of satanic socialism, Satanism really, is about destroying the image of God in mankind. They've moved the Bible and prayer out of schools. They've moved the Bible and the kids out of our government. And they've done this intentionally because of their work, and they are plainly now their greatest sacrifice, it seems, is going to be the 100 million and low IQs. Another happened is a terrible crime against humanity. And you also see, Scott, nations are.
You're coming in and out, Mike. We're losing you. You're coming in and out.
Well, he is calling and they are not going to accept the morality that seems to be that mark for a world government. So, have we been able to get Tony yet? I'm very encouraged that Vladimir Putin has shown us what a real statesman is. We don't have any in America, and I don't believe Mr. Trump is a real statesman. I believe he's morally compromised. Many people want to believe in Trump. They want to believe someone who said they want to make America great again. But de Tocqueville made it very plain that he understood this of America when he said America is good because, or rather great, is because America is good. If she ever ceases to be good, she will cease to be great. America is a nation in rebellion. Rebellion is, as the Word of God teaches, the sin of witchcraft. It is as the sin of witchcraft. So we are under a terrible judgment, and a manifestation of that judgment is now more than 100 million people in America, I think much more than that, have been given the lethal injection, and many of them have chosen to have their children have the lethal injection and their parents get the lethal injection. And what we're seeing in coming into the flu season, quote unquote, is that we are going to see a lot of people die.
Yeah.
I believe that we're probably not getting through. The issue is, I don't believe the people in that are listening to us want us to say this kind of message. They've already heard it. But is that Mitchell? Mitchell, is the program up and running? Can you hear us?
Hey, Mike, I just got back here a minute ago. Yes, I see the volume meter on the studio server moving. So when I first clocked in, for some reason, I didn't see it going. I did briefly, and then I don't know, but we do appear to be on.
Okay, good. Welcome back.
Hey, welcome, brothers. How you doing?
Okay, well, thank you.
Something's funky going on because I can't bring Tony in. So, well, you know, there's another story that just came on along the lines of what Putin was talking about at this conference. And this is the Biden administration has just issued a passport, gender neutral passport. These are our priorities now, Biden says, as his State Department issues a gender neutral passport. The U.S. State Department has issued its first gender-neutral passport and will soon let any applicant pick an X instead of a traditional male or female option. Commenters online rolled their eyes at the government's priorities. The State Department announced the issuing of the passport on Wednesday with spokesman Ned Price declaring that the U.S., quote, continues to take steps to demonstrate our commitment to promoting the freedom, dignity, and equality of all people, including LGBTQI, plus U.S. citizens, LGBTQI+, that means there's more. I don't know how many other letters or numbers or Latin or Aztec symbols they're going to put behind that LGBTQI, but they're working on it. And they've issued a passport. So I wonder how many taxpayer funds have gone into this whole issuing of a gender-neutral passport. The news came 3 months after the State Department gave trans Americans the option of switching their gender on their passports without providing medical documents to prove their transition. At the time, Secretary of State Tony Blinken said officials were still evaluating the best approach for a non-binary option. Certain U.S. states allow non-binary people to identify as X on driver's licenses or other forms of ID, and a number of countries already allow the third gender option on passports. Among them are Argentina, Canada, and New Zealand, while more than a dozen other countries issue third gender passports to intersex or non-binary people in some circumstances. The option will be made available to all U.S. applicants in early 2022. While anyone identifying with the X will surely be pleased by the latest news, commenters online were unimpressed. Quote, "These are our priorities now," a cynical commenter wrote. "Wonder how other non-Western countries will take it when these X people enter their country. This is much more important than getting Americans out of Afghanistan," another Twitter user. "Finally, our State Department is focused on what's really important," mockingly. "Thank God Biden is focused on what's important to American families." Let's see. Gender-neutral IDs were just one promise Joe Biden made to the LGBT community on the campaign trail. His campaign also promised to protect LGBTQ plus individuals from violence, to expand legal protections to transgender people by passing the Equality Act, and to grant transgender youth access to bathrooms and locker rooms of their choice. Yeah, we saw how that worked out, didn't we? A transgender youth in Virginia, a psychotic schizophrenic, put on a dress, went into a girl's bathroom in a middle school in Virginia and raped a girl. Yeah, we know how that goes. We know how that went. A transgender male pretending that he was a female went into the bathroom and raped a girl, and Terry McAuliffe, the Virginia School Board in Loudoun County have been trying to conceal it. Obama tried to conceal it. But this was the reason that the father of that girl went into the school board meeting and read them the Riot Act. And the school board, the police, amazingly, had this father arrested and handcuffed and taken out because he was making such a scene, because his daughter had been raped by a transgender male that Biden has granted access to these bathrooms. So, yeah, this is a war. This is a declaration of war against your children. This has to be violently opposed by all means necessary, because if it is not opposed, more of these schizophrenics are going to be predatorily entering bathrooms and raping and molesting young girls. So this whole thing, again, this is not about beating up emotional, fragile, you know, retarded, schizophrenic, troubled people. They have troubles. They have problems. But I am not going to call it normal. I'm not going to call it healthy. It's unhealthy. It's abnormal. It's not natural. It is not God's design. And the problem is you create an entire human society that loses its mind. And that's where America seems to be going towards. Not all of America, not all areas. I mean, this is allowing for a departure. This is allowing a license for people to come out from among them and be separate. This is triggering an awakening in society and a true revulsion of Biden and these Democrats like never before. There's also an interesting story that had just come out too. Project Veritas and James O'Keefe. I know everybody is familiar with James O'Keefe. Project Veritas going up and ambushing a lot of these, liberals and stuff like that. And Project Veritas and James O'Keefe went up to Governor Murphy of Newark, New Jersey. And there had been a video of this Governor Murphy, who is one of the lockdown governors. He's this ugly little, well, he's tall, but he's an ugly, it looks like a Skeksy from the Dark Crystal, ugly man. And he's been trying to lock down the whole society. Well, anyway, one of his campaign advisors, this Hispanic woman, was caught on video by James O'Keefe in Project Veritas. And she was saying in her Puerto Rican Latin accent and saying in Spanish too, that Governor Murphy would issue vaccine mandates in New Jersey on everyone after he won the election. But he's not saying it now. He's not letting that out of the bag now. He's not saying that would be his agenda. He's avoiding that question because his campaign advisor said the independents would not vote for him if he mandated vaccines. So it was very, very clear. Here's this Hispanic woman, senior advisor. She's caught on video saying, yes, he'll do the mandates, but he's not going to do them until after he wins the election because it would be political suicide if he did it now because everyone would abandon him. And she said they're all wrapped, you know, people would abandon him because they're all wrapped up in my rights and all that bullshit. You know, oh, they're in my rights and my body bullshit. But after the election, then he'll issue a mandate. Well, Project Veritas got that on video and they ambushed Governor Murphy. And the guy went up and I would have been a lot more direct and confrontational. You see the guy going up to Governor Murphy, who's walking as fast as he can, and he says, "Governor Murphy, is it true your campaign staffer said you're gonna issue mandates? And why do you have to lie to the American people?" I would have stood right in his way. I wouldn't have trotted next to him. I would have got right in front of him and let him walk around. But this is very, very interesting, and it's also troubling. But Governor Murphy has been caught on Project Veritas. I'd go, if you want to know more about it, go to Project Veritas, go to their Instagram account, go to their Twitter account. And, James O'Keefe has it up there. It's very, very funny. It's very interesting. I love seeing these people when they get ambushed, especially the fat Jewish, girl who is like a nurse or some sort of, no, she's like a Pfizer employee or something like that. And they caught her. She had sent out a memo advising Pfizer staff don't admit that there's baby parts in the vaccines. This is not something we want to do. So she's sending out memos to everybody to avoid and don't let anyone know that there are fetus baby body parts in the vaccines. And they ambushed her, and she ran in a waddling, fat, you know, sort of a avalanche run to get out of there. But they're doing a very good job in ambushing these people. And Terry McAuliffe is another one. Terry McAuliffe is running for Virginia, and Terry McAuliffe is running for governor of Virginia. And he, of course, is another criminal. Susan Lindauer is going to be exposing him tonight. If you want, people should go to American Media Periscope. And at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time, we're going to have Susan Lindauer on talking about her video that she just released about Terry McAuliffe. Now, Terry McAuliffe was a criminally involved in approaching Andrew McCabe, the FBI director, who was reviewing the laptop and the communication emails from Hillary Clinton that had been smashed, that had been on the server, that involved Leon Panetta and all sorts of pedophilia, child pedophilia, all sorts of other dirty stuff and terrorist financing stuff and criminality. Well, anyway, Terry McAuliffe approached Andrew McCabe and said, hey, we want your wife to run against Senator Dick Black. Now, that should be construed as a crime, as bribery of a government official. And they gave Andrew McCabe's wife $500,000. I think it was $700,000, actually. They gave her right out of the box $700,000 to run. They canceled the other person that they had slotted to run. So the other person got jettisoned. They went to Andrew McCabe. They gave him a bag full of cash and said, we want your wife to run against Senator Dick Black. And that's not a crime. And Senator Dick Black had been identified as a thorn in the flesh of Terry McAuliffe and Hillary Clinton back in 2016 because he had gone to Syria and he had seen firsthand the Israelis, the Qataris, the Saudi Arabians, and the Turks all sending Al-Qaeda Wahhabist mercenaries up against Syria. And the Hawaiian gal, what's her name again? The Hawaiian congresswoman, the surfer gal, real cute. I can't remember. Gabbard, thank you. Tulsi Gabbard. Tulsi Gabbard had went to Syria, too, and had gotten a lot of this intel. Senator Black actually had done a lot of briefing and educated Tulsi Gabbard about this. But Senator Dick Black had met with Assad, had seen all that was going on, and it was the Saudis, it was the Qataris, it was the Turks, it was the Israelis who were killing and beheading and doing all sorts of monstrous things to the Syrian people and the Syrian Christians in particular. The Israelis don't give a crap about Christians, and the more people wake up to that fact, the more their foreign policy should be advisedly reoriented away from Israel because they have nothing to do with Christendom or Christians. They perform some of the most atrocious barbarities of human trafficking and torture imaginable. They make the Nazis look like Girl Scouts in the horrific stunts they pull, and they're very good at pleading for victimization from the Holocaust and all that jazz. But the Israelis are some of the biggest war criminals in the world right now. But Dick Black had seen that, and that's why Terry McAuliffe and Hillary Clinton and all the rest of those scumbags went after Andrew McCabe to try and get his wife to run and push out Senator Dick Black. It did not work. Senator Black won. And, of course, everything has mysteriously been sort of hidden under the rug. So it's not going anywhere. Andrew McCabe is a criminal. Terry McAuliffe's a criminal. And the governor of Virginia should utilize that, and we'll make sure that he gets more and more information about that. But we're going to be talking about that tonight on American Media Periscope at 6 p.m. Pacific. People should go to AmericanMediaPeriscope.net and tune in. It should be really, really interesting to see Susan Lindauer's video on this sort of stuff. So, Michael, do we have a caller? I think Mitch had said a caller, but if not, Michael, hand it to you to get your comments on it. Go ahead.
Well, do we have a caller, Mitch? Okay, thank you. Well, very good. History, we've seen so many things happening in the last 2 years, and it all seems to be level of degeneration after another. I think one of the greatest disappointments America has ever experienced is listening to all the promises that Donald Trump made and watching him fail on every single one of them. He did not close the border. He did not arrest these people. He did not put them in prison. We're watching another gee, there's a whole bunch of indictments about to happen right now. I think that's all a fantasy. I don't think anybody's going to be arrested. I think these people are all in it. If somebody with a conscience was in the position Donald Trump had been in, all these people would be gone because of treason. All of them would have been taken. But he always had somebody to blame. He always had plausible deniability because of suggestions or because of the different impeachments or because of the Russia hoax or because of Bob Barr. Always he had an excuse and he consistently failed. He was the one that gave us Operation Warp Speed. And now we find out that his media company that had been opening up his new media platform has its headquarters in Wuhan, and everybody that is running this media company for him is involved with the Chinese Communist government. Every single one of the officers in this corporation running Donald Trump's media corporation are all Chinese communists. What is going on here? The issue is Mr. Trump was in the place where he and Fauci said, I've seen the videos. Oh, Fauci is a good friend. Oh, he's a real guy. Fauci's a mass murderer, Mr. Trump. You introduced Operation Warp Speed. You opened up the Treasury of America and gave these pharmaceutical companies hundreds of millions of dollars to produce this lethal. You didn't say a word about these companies not having liability. You didn't encourage the American people to stand that these pharmaceutical companies and the doctors be personally liable for any death or injury. Why, Mr. Trump? Well, I'll tell you why. You're a lying coward. You were a public serpent, piece of horrific, Satanist, dead meat. You're not alive spiritually. You're a devil-worshipping liar. And those are your good points because you're such a good liar. And I'm disgusted because America was led down the primrose path listening to this man make promises. Excuse me, but he never kept. Scott?
Well, there's an interesting story, too, that I wanted to talk about, and that is Julian Assange, Beyond the Pale. Americans are horrified by a report that CIA under Trump discussed assassinating Julian Assange. Journalists, political analysts, and press organizations expressed shock over a report that claimed members of the former President Donald Trump's administration had plotted to assassinate WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. Yahoo News, probably Michael Isikoff, the same MSNBC Yahoo News reporter who interviewed me, interviewed more than 30 former Trump administration officials for its article, revealing that the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency under Trump's then CIA director Mike Pompeo had discussed assassinating or kidnapping Assange while he took refuge in the Ecuadorian embassy in London. So Mike Pompeo had been part of this plot against Assange. Mike Pompeo, incidentally, also, of course, deceived President Trump with the assassination of Soleimani by positioning Soleimani as a murderer and had targeted U.S. Soldiers and things like that, which was totally untrue. Soleimani, General Soleimani of Iran, was to Iranians what George Washington was to Americans. General Soleimani had actually been fighting ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and the Wahhabi terrorists, the same ones that were in Libya, the same ones that were doing all sorts of beheading and bad stuff. So Pompeo was, on the wrong side of this, and really was a liar beyond any pale. But continuing, the report also claimed that the Trump administration, in partnership with the UK government, was preparing to potentially engage in dangerous street conflict with any Russian operatives should they attempt to help Assange escape the country. Following the release of the report, the Freedom of the Press Foundation issued a statement calling the CIA, quote, a disgrace, adding, the fact that it contemplated and engaged in so many illegal acts against WikiLeaks, its associates, and even other award-winning journalists is an outright scandal that should be investigated by Congress and the Justice Department. The foundation also called on President Joe Biden and his administration to immediately drop all charges against Assange, describing the CIA's alleged plans as beyond the pale. Let's see. Our statement at Freedom of Press on the appalling revelations in Yahoo News investigation of the CIA actions against WikiLeaks and other journalists. The CIA is a disgrace. They go on and on. Snowden went in here. Stop what you're doing and read this. The CIA developed plans to kill or kidnap an award-winning journalist whose work they did not like before they charged him with a crime. The case against Julian Assange must be dropped and condemned. Kidnapping, assassination, and a London shootout inside the CIA's secret plan. In 2017, as Julian Assange began his fifth year, holed up in Ecuador's embassy in London, the CIA plotted to kidnap the WikiLeaks founder. Horrified journalists, political commentators, and analysts from around the world also expressed shock at the details contained in the report. You cannot extradite somebody you plotted to assassinate, reacted The Intercept's Washington, D.C. Bureau Chief Ryan Grimm, while journalist Glenn Greenwald treated behavior like this from the CIA and now from the Biden DOJ is what real press freedom attacks look like. As I've said before, behavior like this, blah, blah, blah. I've had mean tweets posted about me by many people, including Bolsonaro. I know the difference. I hope someday the U.S. media will learn it, too. Tommy Vietor, a former spokesman for President Obama, called on House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff and the Senate Intel Committee Chairman Mark Warner to hold hearings on the CIA's alleged plot. Let's see. In response, the CIA and the White House preparing for a number of scenarios to foil Assange's Russian departure plans, according to three former officials. These included potential gun battles with Kremlin operatives on the streets of London, crashing a car into a Russian diplomatic vehicle, transporting Assange and then grabbing him, and shooting out the tires of a Russian plane carrying Assange before it could take off from Moscow. U.S. officials asked their British counterparts to do the shooting if gunfire was required, and the British agreed. According to a former senior administration official, we had all sorts of reasons to believe he was contemplating getting the hell out of there, said the former senior administration official, adding that one report said Assange might try to escape the embassy hidden in a laundry cart. It's going to be like a prison break movie. Others used the report to discredit public figures such as Bureau of Investigative Journalism editor James Ball, who had argued while the CIA were discussing assassinated Assange, that the WikiLeaks founder would be safe if he left the Ecuadorian embassy and was unlikely to face prosecution in the U.S. Assange was forcibly removed from the embassy in 2019 by London Metropolitan Police and incarcerated in the maximum security Belmarsh prison, where he remains to this day as the U.S. government attempts to extradite him to face charges, including violating the Espionage Act, despite the fact he is an Australian citizen. So what I find most interesting about this... Yeah, we can hear you, Mike. We can hear your phone.
I'm sorry.
So, you know, what I find most interesting about this is that Julian Assange and WikiLeaks in 2016, in the summer of 2016, revealed all of Hillary Clinton's emails, Leon Panetta's emails, all of the scandal of Debbie Wasserman Schultz, you know, the Vault 7 emails, I think, were a CIA attempt to counteract that release by WikiLeaks. They set up disinformation and misinformation. But ultimately, the WikiLeaks organization released basically information about crimes that occurred in Iraq. Yeah, and I understand they're accidental crimes, they're accidental shootings. Helicopters shoot good people, and good people shoot bad people, and bad people shoot good people in war. But WikiLeaks got this material from Bradley Manning, who, you know, popped his lid because they had exposed him to so many Mossad engineered torture videos, and I've seen some of them, and I can't, you know, go into too many details, but I can tell you they make you grow gray hair. And the Mossad and the Israelis are very good at pretending that they're Arabs, which is their intent, to psychologically traumatize American soldiers into hating Arabs so that they continue their war juggernaut. And a lot of these videos, they find in intel, and they bring them back to the intel analysts. And Bradley Manning was one of the intel analysts that would have been going through them and categorizing them and all sorts of things. And he's a little emotionally fragile, and he popped his cork. He just couldn't handle it. And he's, you know, he was gay, homosexual. He had some of these inclinations. His dad didn't give him enough hugs and kisses. His dad was a little bit of a cold fish. So that happens in boys. And he took this intel and he gave it to WikiLeaks. He sent it to WikiLeaks, and it was of a helicopter, a U.S. helicopter gunship, shooting up a bunch of Iraqis that had been standing outside, and they had interpreted them to be enemy combatants. So the U.S. gunship shot and killed like 20 Iraqis, and actually they were civilians. They weren't bad guys. Of course, they probably may have been bad guys. They just couldn't prove it. But they also shot up a Reuters press van, and that had been released to WikiLeaks, and WikiLeaks kind of put it out there. Well, you know, who cares? It's just war. That's what happens in war. Yeah, it's tragic, but it's not a big deal. There's a lot worse stuff that have happened. But this was the beginning of the case against Assange. But fast forward to 2016 in the summertime, Julian Assange and WikiLeaks had revealed to the American people all of the crimes and the criminal activities from Uma Abedin and Hillary Clinton and the Clinton State Department, the Clinton Foundation, the people in the Obama administration, emails and financing of bad guys in Libya, in Qatar, in Saudi Arabia, all their money that's being used, on and on and on and on and on. Syria operations. Well, Donald Trump stood up on a stadium, I'll never forget, and he says, "Don't you love WikiLeaks?" Well, yes, every American does love WikiLeaks because they love to know the truth, and they hate the criminality in their government. And they do love WikiLeaks, and they do love Julian Assange for telling the truth. Nobody wants to be involved in all these wars except the people who profit from them. Nobody wants to be doing some of these things. Nobody wants America to be associated with some of these things. So they do love Julian Assange. So Donald Trump was right to say, "Don't you love WikiLeaks? Don't you love Julian Assange?" And they basically, I think they really helped lift Trump's butt over the fence and get him elected. I think that really added to the momentum, the emotional charge, and the distrust among independents towards Hillary Clinton. So Donald Trump was right when he said, "Don't you love WikiLeaks?" Yeah, but when he got into office, he should have instantly deployed a team of people, not Mike Pompeo, who's a traitor and a liar, and not half the other people, Gina Haspel, and not Nikki Haley, and not all these other people. But he should have had a task force that went right to Julian Assange, right to the WikiLeaks thing, and said, "We want to do an investigation into everything that you have in exchange for a full pardon for turning state's evidence so we can prosecute everybody that's been involved with criminal activity and espionage and treason against the United States." Julian Assange and WikiLeaks, I will not forget, provided the WikiLeaks cables about the Hillary Clinton State Department and diamonds in the toothpaste and the imprisonment of Brad Birkenfeld, who had been a Swiss banker who Edward Snowden had targeted when he was in the CIA. And that intel, that information had been published on WikiLeaks from the actual State Department cables from the coordinator of counterterrorism, which I recognized because I was there in the coordinator of counterterrorism's office when these were written. I know this. That's why it hit me like a brick through a stained glass window when I read them. This is what WikiLeaks did. This is the revelations of criminality in the American government. And Donald Trump recognized it, but nobody in his administration went and exploited it, used this intelligence, used Julian Assange, used Edward Snowden in a secret task force that should have went up with Inspector General and Department of Justice prosecution and taken the fight to the Democrats like they have never had the fight taken to them before. And I realize Newt Gingrich and all these rhinos and neocons and Democrats went on the attack against Trump, and you had the whole Russian collusion and the attack of Flynn and all this other stuff, which is a real convenient psyop. But the fact remains that Julian Assange did more for the American people and more for truth than any other person in history. Julian Assange is not a criminal. He's not a traitor. He's not an Espionage Act violator. He is a man that gave intel about criminal activities. Donald Trump recognized it, but instead of going and using that, instead of penetrating that oil sea that we could have harvested, they stabbed him in the back, and they are still stabbing in the back. It is absolutely criminal and intolerable and incredible hypocrisy that this has been allowed. So I it's a personal thing for me, because I know this material, I work with it, and I know a lot of other stuff but deep underpinning it, but I'm amazed that Trump and Pompeo and this whole administration have failed to use Julian Assange in the capacity that he could have been used to benefit the American people, to expose traitors, to prosecute them, to give them the death penalty and execute them. And instead, because they didn't do what should have been done the way we told them to do it, and I wrote all of this in a memo to Donald Trump in December of 2017, he had a whole year. And I gave him this in December 2017 to his lawyers, to his press people, directly to him. I know he got it. I sent a direct memo about all of this stuff. And nothing has been done. Mike, I'll hand it over to you to give us your closing thoughts before we come to the end. Go ahead.
I don't think Mike's here, Scott. He's having a bandwidth problem.
Okay. Well, Mitch, I'll let you comment before we close.
Well, everybody, our government has not lied to us consistently. I guess that's asked backwards, isn't it? They've lied so often, so much. The only thing that the government consistently does is lie. Everything is a political psyop or some kind of operation to brainwash you. Do we live by a cult by government? Or there was a saying I saw, I think, earlier about government and control. That, you know, it's the individual by the government is individuals get together and the cult drives them. Well, what is it when the government essentially is the cult leader? And that's the kind of government that we have today. Our government has gone places where it shouldn't even be thinking of going. And they believe it's the norm. You know, we live in this kind of socialist society today. And where will it stop? It won't. They will never stop. And that's the thing that the Constitution is supposed to limit government. And it's not. So, yeah.
Amen. Well, you know, I'm going to close with this. Sing unto the Lord a new song. And, you know, this is a time to sing our praises to our Father in heaven. This is a time to raise our voices, to be reminded in his promises, no plague shall come nigh thy dwelling. No plague shall come nigh thy dwelling. And rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. These are times where we have to be thankful. And God says that, be thankful. In all things, be thankful. So be thankful that the world is coming down and the sandcastles are disintegrating. Be thankful that the lunatic left are losing their minds and stabbing themselves with needles and vaccines, that their names have not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life since the foundation of the world. So this is just God's plan of unfolding things. You do not have a responsibility for the salvation or lack of salvation of other people. It is God's business. But we are to be light and salt. We are to speak the truth. And the truth of the truth is the gospel and the Psalms and the Proverbs. We are to speak mightily. We are to celebrate his word. We are to speak mightily and boldly. The bold or the righteous are as bold as a lion. And there are again and again many, many words that give us comfort and strength. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to fight, my hands to war, my fingers to fight. That means we're in a fight. We're be a good soldier of Christ, wearing the helmet of salvation, the shield of the gospel, the sword of truth, or actually the shield of faith, your feet shod with the sandals of the gospel. So keep fighting, keep proclaiming, and keep praying, and keep rejoicing. We will see you again. God bless you. Take care.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Junkie, I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. And that's it. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Number one listener-supported radio, the printing press for freedom at a time when freedom is needed the most.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio! The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for the second hour. We do have Tony Gosling on, our great English scholar and a journalist and researcher who has covered so many milestones on revealing things going on in the deep state, things happening across America. It is always an honor to have him on. And some of the topics that Tony is such a good expert on, I want people to know so they can follow his work on Twitter and his website. He's covered things in his journalistic exploits. The U.S.-UK history and origin of the British Empire Project, the Bilderbergers, the aviation industry versus the climate industry, mass media, mind control, Templars and Christianity, destruction of the relays in the U.S. and the U.K. to make way for oil addiction, the new green nonsense, Cambridge Soviet spies, on and on and on. So many different good topics. And Tony, let me start out with this. We were just getting into the last hour, Julian Assange. Julian Assange in WikiLeaks, in my opinion, is a hero and a journalist who has done more for truth and to liberate the world from the mummification of lies, the shackles of deception, than anyone else in journalistic history, other than Martin Luther, I would say. But Julian Assange essentially came to the people of the United States, and Julian Assange presented the truth about Hillary Clinton, the deep state, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, the Clinton State Department, all sorts of deviousness. And Donald Trump recognized Julian Assange in WikiLeaks and even applauded him. But yet Mike Pompeo and so many in the Trump administration engineered a CIA targeting and hunting down and calling Julian Assange an enemy and on and on and on in an act of utter betrayal and hypocrisy. Not that Julian Assange was working for Trump or in concert, but he was working for the truth. And he was exposing the truth. He had no love for Trump, but he had no love for Hillary either. But he also had no hatred for Hillary. He was just exposing the truth. That's what journalists do. And yet he has been betrayed and covered up and imprisoned illegally and tortured. And it is the sign of utter hypocrisy and deception that people in the Trump administration, Mike Pompeo and others, have continued this attack and on a man that really should be held up and celebrated as opening, opening up the truth of the deep state and these secrets like no one else. But, you know, Tony, I'll hand it over to you to get your assessment of Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. Go ahead, Tony Gosling.
Hi, Scott. Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Yep, we hear you fine, pal.
Okay, brilliant. Well, I'm just en route into Wolves, Gloucestershire from Herefordshire at the moment. So just forgive me if I might fade out from time to time, as we've got a few of the hills here that used to keep the Welsh out of England. In fact, this is the sort of defensive line between you know, medieval defensive line between England and Wales. I'm driving along through now. We get on very well with the Welsh. The funny thing is, the Welsh also voted for Brexit. People seem to forget that, but the Welsh have also, despite all of the deindustrialization followed by the waves of Brussels money, the Welsh have still decided they've had enough of Brussels and they would rather be ruled by the English than by the Belgian oligarch. So, you know, fair play to the Welsh. But look, on Julian Assange, this just to paint the picture, we've got the hearing. It's a two-day hearing, an extradition hearing, today and tomorrow. The establishment, which of course means the US Anglo-Zionist Empire, wants to do everything they can to punish this journalist.
Well, we lost you a little bit there, Tony. We'll see if you come back. The Anglo-Zionist Empire wanting to do everything they can to punish the journalist. Absolutely true. Let's see if we can bring him back on, Mitch. And meanwhile, you know, what Tony was talking about is a hearing that they're having. And I'm going to read another article that describes what's happening at the hearing right now. Let's see here. Assange wincing in pain on court video link as IFG takes full page ad in Times calling for his immediate release. With U.S. government representatives fighting in London's High Court to extradite Julian Assange on Wednesday, that's today, the International Federation of Journalists called for his immediate release in a full page advertisement in the Times. The IFJ, which represents journalists' unions worldwide, condemned his persecution by the UK and US governments, as well as the recently revealed credible accounts of plans by the CIA to assassinate or kidnap him. WikiLeaks sent out a tweet saying, full page advertisement in today's The Times, the International Federation of Journalists representing 600,000 journalists worldwide called for Julian Assange's immediate release. This week, the U.S. will try to extradite Julian Assange, threatening him with a 175-year sentence. All major human rights and free speech organizations oppose his extradition. Journalism is not a crime, the IFJ declared over a full-page image of Assange. You know, that right there again, Donald Trump, when he was president, at the stroke of a pen, even before his leaving office, but he should have done it, the very first thing that he got into office is signed a pardon for Julian Assange, a full pardon, and bring him over to testify to the United States, to testify about what he knew, to testify and expose all of the bad actors in the government agencies, at the Central Intelligence Agency, at the FBI, at the Department of Justice, at the Pentagon. That's what WikiLeaks had. It had troves of documents, of emails, of cables at the State Department, on and on and on. All of that was evidence that should have been prosecuted for crimes. And traitors, domestic enemies, who really committed the Espionage Act violation, could have been prosecuted. Donald Trump should have pardoned Julian Assange, and it is a disgrace and a failure that he did not. I don't think there's any political calculation that can justify not pardoning Assange. Because what do we see now with the Department of Justice? The Department of Justice that hated Assange and has put together this whole false prosecution has also been the same Department of Justice that aided and abetted the killing of Robert Lavoie Finicum, the engineering of various false flags across the country, and of course, the investigation of General Flynn, the prosecutions of these people associated with Trump, Manafort, Flynn, Roger Stone. This Department of Justice persecuted Julian Assange and everybody under the Trump administration, and now is going after parents who go to school board meetings to protest the wokeness, the transgender policies allowing boys to wear dresses and rape girls in the bathrooms. This same Department of Justice is opening up FBI tip lines so that parents can get a knock on the door by FBI Department of Justice agents and a file opened up on them so they can have their kids taken, so their cars can be tracked, so their bank accounts can be tracked, so their properties can be reviewed, so their jobs can be contacted, so that the Gestapo can step in and start harassing these parents. Yes, 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 yes. That's what they do. So the only way, of course, to react is full confrontation with them anytime, and never waiving rights and never excusing their performance. But let me continue reading this article. It warned that press freedom is, quote, suffering lasting damage by his continued persecution. Quote, representing more than 600,000 journalists worldwide, we call for his immediate release and condemn recent revelations of a CIA plot to assassinate or kidnap him, the ad concluded. It was stamped with the seals of the IFJ, the European Federation of Journalists, the UK National Union of Journalists, and the Media, Entertainment, and Arts Alliance. People hold a rally as U.S. appeal on Assange extradition heard in London court. There's all sorts of people outside the court holding up signs for Assange. During the U.S. court appeal on Wednesday, it was reported that the Assange was not feeling well, enough to attend in a virtual capacity. However, he did eventually appear via video link and was described by journalist Tariq Haddad as coughing and wincing in pain. So here is Assange coughing and wincing in pain. They also said, we are told by Edward Fitzgerald QC on behalf of Assange that he has been given a high dose of medication and that he doesn't feel well enough to attend. The judges accept his absence, though he has no obligation to attend. Update, Assange now appears on the video link for the first time, appears to be coughing and wincing in pain. So Assange is being tortured, he's being medicated, he's being locked up in a British top security prison, held in solitary confinement, not giving outside fresh air, not getting any sun, not getting any vitamin supplements, his teeth are rotting away, his physical body is rotting away. That's what happens in these prisons, and this is what they're doing to press freedom. This is what they're doing to the spirit of journalism and the spirit of freedom of expression and truth, they're doing to Assange. And I think that really has to be considered, that Julian Assange and the spirit of the freedom of press is one and the same. And this is what the government, judicial, court, military, political authorities are doing to Julian Assange and the spirit of press freedom and freedom of information and the freedom of expression. How long will the people suffer this? All right, I'll let you keep trying to reach him, Mitch, and bring him on. Let me continue. Let's see. U.S. lawyers are attempting to make the case that Assange would not be put at greater health risk if he were extradited on charges of violating the U.S. Espionage Act. After U.K. Judge Vanessa Bereitster ruled in January that he could not be extradited over fears that he would be at risk of suicide in the U.S. prison system. Assange's defense has argued that he would be kept in harsh and inhumane conditions in a U.S. prison and that the risk would be too great. Assange has been held at London's maximum security Belmarsh prison since 2019, with his physical and mental health declining. Lawyers assured the court on Wednesday that the U.S. would consent to Mr. Assange being transferred to Australia to serve any custodial sentence imposed on him. Supporters of Assange and press freedom protested outside the court on Wednesday and called for his release. It was reported last month that the CIA under Trump appointed director Mike Pompeo had plotted to kidnap or assassinate Assange as he took refuge in the Ecuadorian embassy in London. A Yahoo News report even indicated the U.S. intelligence agency was willing to engage in violent street combat in the U.K.'s capital city to achieve its goals. So they are trying to charge Assange with a violation of the Espionage Act, trying to give him 175 years in prison, though he's never been in the United States aside from being at the National Press Club to present the evidence which was sent to him by sources. Incidentally, the person that from Iceland or Norway, I think it was, who claimed that Assange had done some sort of hacking or participated or given the green light for hacking of information, recanted his story and said he was lying. So this source that the U.S. legal authorities have used and depended upon to make the claim that Assange was directly involved with cyber espionage operations and involved directly in getting this intel from the U.S., that claim has been proven false. The guy lied. He admitted he lied. He admitted he was told to lie by the CIA, by the Department of Justice, by MI5, MI6, no doubt. Well, the guy's consequently abandoned that whole claim. So essentially, Assange's defense has been, hey, I had sources come to me and give me material that I published. It's the same thing that the New York Times and the Washington Post did when they came to them with the Pentagon Papers. They published them. It's the same thing that journalists do all over the country. It's the same thing that the International Consortium of Journalists did when they just released the Panama Papers and the, quote, Pandora Papers. Why isn't the British charging these journalists with similar crimes for exposing things like Cameron and other people's financial actions? The whole thing rings of hypocrisy, and it is truly staggering. But let me continue here. See if we can bring up the advertisement. This is the full page ad and the Times. We're trying to bring this up. So the most crucial human rights case of our time is proceeding without the person on trial being present, either on person or on video, because he is too unwell as a result of his incarceration. This is Caitlin Johnson talking about this. This week, the U.S. will try to extradite Julian Assange, threatening him with a 175-year sentence. All major human rights and five speech organizations oppose his extradition. The next court hearing is to be held in London, October 27th and 28th. Journalism is not a crime, and they've got a big picture of Julian Assange's face in black and white. Media freedom is suffering lasting damage by the continued prosecution of Julian Assange. Representing more than 600,000 journalists worldwide, we call for his immediate release and condemn recent revelations of a CIA plot to assassinate or kidnap him. This is a big advertisement. It's got a picture of Assange, and this writing is displayed over it. Pretty powerful stuff. We've got stuff going on outside the court. So, court files expose Sheldon Adelson's security team and U.S. spy operation against Julian Assange. So you have Sheldon Adelson, a Jewish Zionist multimillionaire billionaire that gave money to Trump. He's standing. He's got a picture of IAC, which seems to be a Jewish U.S. political organization, and somehow he is behind the attack on Assange with Pompeo. Here's the story from the Gray Zone. The American Friends, new court files expose Sheldon Adelson's security team and U.S. spy operation against Julian Assange. This came out from Max Blumenthal. An exclusive investigation by the Gray Zone reveals new details on the critical role Sheldon Adelson's Las Vegas Sands played in an apparent CIA spying operation targeting Julian Assange, and exposes the Sands security staff who helped coordinate the malicious campaign. So Sheldon Adelson, who gave a lot of money to Trump, is behind an anti-Assange movement. I wonder why. As the co-founder of a small security consulting firm called UC Global, David Morales spent years slogging through the minor leagues of the private mercenary world. A former Spanish Special Forces officer, Morales yearned to be the next Eric Prince, the Blackwater founder who leveraged his army for hire into high-level political connections across the globe. By 2016, he had secured just one significant contract to guard the children of Ecuador's then-president Rafael Correa and his country's embassy in the UK. The London embassy contract proved especially valuable to Morales, however. Inside the diplomatic compound, his men guarded WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange, a top target of the U.S. government, who had been living in the building since Correa granted him asylum in 2012. It was not long before Morales realized he had a big league opportunity on his hands. In 2016, Morales rushed off alone to a security fair in Las Vegas, hoping to rustle up lucrative new gigs by touting his role as the guardian of Assange. Days later, he returned to his company's headquarters in Jerez de Frontera, Spain, with exciting news. Let's see. From now on, we're going to be playing in the first division, Morales announced to his employers. When a co-owner of UC Global asked what Morales meant, he responded that he had turned to the dark side, an apparent reference to U.S. intelligence services. The Americans will find us contracts around the world, Morales assured his business partner. Morales had just signed on to guard Queen Mary, the $70 million yacht belonging to one of the most high proficient casino tycoons in Vegas, ultra Zionist billionaire and Republican mega donor Sheldon Adelson. Okay, well, Mitch, bring Tony back on and let me know. I'll continue reading. Give me the heads up. Give me the heads up by voice when you bring him on. Given that Adelson already had a substantial security team assigned to guard him and his family at all times, the contract between UC Global and Adelson's Las Vegas Sands was clearly the cover for a devious espionage campaign apparently overseen by the CIA. Unfortunately for Morales, the Spanish security consultant charged with leading the spying operation, what happened in Vegas did not stay there. Following Assange's imprisonment, several disgruntled formal employees eventually approached Assange's legal team to inform them about the misconduct and arguably illegal activity they participated in at UC Global. One former business partner said they came forward after realizing that David Morales decided to sell all the information to the enemy, the U.S. A criminal complaint was submitted in a Spanish court, and a secret operation that resulted in the arrest of Morales was set into motion by the judge. Morales was charged by a Spanish high court in October 2019 with violating the privacy of Assange and abusing the publisher attorney's client privileges, as well as money laundering and bribery. The documents revealed in court, which were primarily backups from company computers, exposed the disturbing reality of his activities on the dark side. Obtained by media outlets, including the Gray Zone, the UC Global files detail an elaborate and apparently illegal U.S. surveillance operation in which the security firm spied on Assange, his legal team, his American friends, U.S. journalists, and an American member of Congress who had been allegedly dispatched to the Ecuadorian embassy by President Trump. Even the Ecuadorian diplomats, whom UC Global was hired to protect, were targeted by the spy ring. The ongoing investigation detailed black operations ranging from snooping on the WikiLeaks founder's private conversations to fishing a diaper from an embassy trash can in order to determine if the feces inside it belonged to his son. According to witness statements obtained by the Gray Zone, weeks after Morales proposed breaking into the office of Assange's lead counsel, the office was burglarized. The witnesses also detailed a proposal to kidnap or poison Assange. A police raid at the home of Morales netted two handguns with their serial numbers filed off. along with stacks of cash. One source close to the investigation told the Gray Zone that an Ecuadorian official was robbed at gunpoint while carrying private information pertaining to a plan to secure diplomatic immunity for Assange. Throughout the Black Operations campaign, U.S. intelligence appears to have worked through Adelson's Las Vegas Sands, a company that had been previously served as an alleged front for a cabal, a CIA blackmail operation several years earlier. The operations formally began once Adelson's hand-picked presidential candidate, Donald Trump, entered the White House in January 2017. So that's interesting. U.S. intelligence appears to have worked through Adelson's Las Vegas Sands Casino, a company that had been previously served as an alleged CIA front for blackmail operations. Interesting. In its coverage of the alleged relationship between the CIA, UC Global, and Adelson Sands, the New York Times claimed it was unclear whether it was the Americans who were behind bugging the embassy. Though he outlined work for an American client in company emails, Morales insisted before a Spanish judge that the spying he conducted in the embassy was performed entirely on behalf of Ecuador's Cenayan Security Services. He has even claimed to CNN Espanol that he was merely seeking to motivate his employees when he boasted about playing for in the first division after returning from his fateful trip to Las Vegas. All right, keep trying. This investigation will further establish the U.S. government's role in guiding UC Global's espionage campaign, shedding new light on the apparent relationship between the CIA and Adelson Sands, and expose how UC Global deceived the Ecuadorian government on behalf of the client Morales, referred to as the American Friends. Thanks to new court disclosures, the Gray Zone is also able to reveal the identity of Sands security staff who presumably liaison between Morales, Adelson's company, and the U.S. intelligence. According to court documents and testimony by a former business associate and employee of Morales, it was Adelson's top bodyguard, an Israeli-American named Zohar Lahav. Last name is spelled L-A-H-A-V. First name spelled Z-O-H-A-R. Zohar Lahav, who personally recruited Morales, then managed the relationship between the Spanish security contractor and Sands on a routine basis. After their first meeting in Vegas, the two security professionals became close friends, visiting each other overseas and speaking frequently. During the spying operation, Lahav worked directly under Brian Nagel, the director of global security for Las Vegas Sands. A former associate director of the U.S. Secret Service and cybersecurity expert, Nagel, was officially commended by the CIA following successful collaborations with federal law enforcement and intelligence agencies. At Sands, he seemed to be an ideal middleman between the company and the U.S. national security state, as well as a potential guide for the complex surveillance task assigned to Morales. When Adelson's favored candidate, Donald Trump, moved into the Oval Office, the CIA came under the control of Mike Pompeo, another Adelson ally who seemed to relish the opportunity to carry out illegal acts, including spying on American citizens in the name of national security. It's interesting that Mike Pompeo received the shell game report when he was a congressman in 2012-2013. Pompeo's first public speech as CIA director hosted at the Washington, D.C.-based Center for Strategic and International Studies think tank on April 13, 2017, was one of the most paranoid and resentful addresses ever delivered by an agency chief. The former Republican congressman from Kansas opened his speech with an extended tirade against the Philip AGs in the world, referring to the CIA whistleblower who handed over thousands of classified documents to leftist publishers that revealed shocking details of illegal U.S. regime change and assassination plots around the world. Alluding to AG's contemporary soulmates, Pompeo declared, "The one thing they don't share with AG is the need for a publisher. All they require now is a smartphone and internet access. In today's digital environment, they can disseminate stolen U.S. secrets instantly around the globe to terrorists, dictators, hackers, and anyone else seeking to do us harm. The CIA director made no secret about the identity of his target. It is time to call out WikiLeaks for what it really is, a non-state hostile intelligence service, often abetted by state actors like Russia. He rumbled from the podium. So here's Mike Pompeo connecting Russia to WikiLeaks and also giving fuel to the fire to the whole Russian investigation. Here's Pompeo, the CIA director, taking orders from Sheldon Adelson, who no doubt promised him his own future political power campaign if he runs for political office promise. No doubt, Adelson has got Pompeo in his pocket. And really, Pompeo set the CIA against WikiLeaks and against Donald Trump and against the American people. Let me continue. Let's see. For the next several minutes, Pompeo ranted against Assange, branding him a narcissist, a fraud, a coward. The right-wing Republican even quoted criticism of the WikiLeaks publisher by The Intercept, Sam Beidle. Next, Pompeo pledged a, quote, long-term campaign of countermeasures against WikiLeaks. We have to recognize that we can no longer allow Assange and his colleagues the latitude to use free speech values against us. To give them the space to crush us with misappropriated secrets is a perversion of what our great Constitution stands for. It ends now. Well, the presentation of secrets which disclose crimes are not secrets, they're disclosed crimes. And Julian Assange did not take an oath as a security expert or an intelligence asset or a military person or any other government official, so he cannot be held to a standard for revealing anything. He is a publisher. And these revelations help Donald Trump win the presidency. Whether they intended it or not is immaterial. They revealed criminal activities. And now we have Mike Pompeo aiding and abetting the attempt to stop the revelation of criminal activity. So you're aiding and abetting criminal behavior, Mike Pompeo. You're helping stop the revelation of crimes against the American people. You're helping to cover up and stop the revelation of violations of the Constitution by rogue and out-of-control intelligence agencies and abuses of FISA courts and everything else that we came to discover much later in 2019, 2018. We discovered all of this stuff after a year and a half, 2 years, that Mike Pompeo helped set in motion. And Mike Pompeo protected. Mike Pompeo protected and advanced and did everything he could to betray Donald Trump and the American people and to get the CIA completely against WikiLeaks. And I think which is in one of the most fantastic betrayals and acts of hypocrisy and acts of aiding and abetting crimes ever. Mike Pompeo should be executed for treason as the traitor that he is for what he has done against WikiLeaks and Julian Assange. It is not to protect the American people. It is to protect the deep state. That's what Mike Pompeo was protecting, and Adelson was protecting Mike Pompeo to do exactly that, because Israel and Mossad, no doubt, had also been revealed in multiple WikiLeaks cables and other material. And let's see. Yes, he covered the CIA, FBI, and ran interference for the plotters who attacked Trump. That is right. That is what Pompeo did. Pompeo attacked Trump. Jeff Sessions attacked Trump. Nikki Haley attacked Trump. James Mattis attacked Trump. H.R. McMaster attacked Trump. Mark Meadows attacked Trump. No one seems to have been aiding and defending and advancing the president and the American people at all. We had passionately and faithfully presented to the president what he needed to do. Robert David Steele had presented it and ad nauseum. a plan for capture and control of the American federal government and rooting out all of these traitors. Mike Pompeo, I will testify against him and show the material that went to his office when he was a congressman. He aided and abetted. He's guilty of misprision of a felony. He's guilty of seditious conspiracy. And all of this is just further sauce for the goose. Though Mike Pompeo said he recognized that the CIA is legally prohibited from spying on people, though electronic surveillance through electronic surveillance of the United States, he seemed to have already put into motion an aggressive program to spy not only on Assange, but on his American friends, lawyers, and virtually everyone in his immediate vicinity. Carried out by UC Global, the campaign entailed private recording conversations of U.S. targets, opening their phones, photographing their personal information, and even stealing their email passwords. The CIA's apparent attack on Assange had been activated weeks earlier when WikiLeaks announced the publication of the CIA Vault 7 files. It would not be long before Adelson's security team began preparing space for Morales in Las Vegas. So let's remember, the CIA announced the publication, CIA's apparent attack was when WikiLeaks announced the publication of the CIA's Vault 7 files. That CIA was controlled by Obama. They were fully anticipating Hillary Clinton being elected. So this same CIA apparatus, the same CIA teams, were fully protected, endorsed, and financed and continued under Mike Pompeo. So nothing changed in the CIA when Pompeo came in. In fact, it only got worse. I think we have Tony Gosling here with us. Tony, I was just reading how Mike Pompeo and Sheldon Adelson worked with the CIA, worked with Morales, who was Julian Assange's security guy, who betrayed Julian Assange, and was subsequently prosecuted by a Spanish court for betraying Julian Assange. But we're seeing this elaborate conspiracy between Morales, the security intelligence guy who was in charge of the embassy security of Assange. That guy went to Las Vegas, met up with a Jewish-Israeli Mossad guy who worked with Sheldon Adelson, and Sheldon Adelson worked with Pompeo, who then simply doubled down and sent all the CIA forces against Julian Assange. Contrary to what the American people expected, the American people expected Donald Trump to give a full pardon and exploit all the information that Julian and Assange, to reveal the deep state traitors and domestic enemies that Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, and all the rest of the deep state had been involved with. Instead, Mike Pompeo participated and aided and abetted that crime. Tony Gosling, I'll bring you back in for your commentary on Julian Assange and everything that we know. Go ahead. Can't hear you. Mitch, should we have him? I can't hear you, Tony. I think you're on mute. Mitch, see if you can bring him in. Let's see. On February 26, 2017, WikiLeaks announced the forthcoming release of a major tranche of CIA files revealing details of the agency's hacking and electronic surveillance tools. One such spying application called, quote, Marble, unquote, allowed agency spies to implant code that obfuscated their identity on computers they had hacked. Other files contained evidence of programs that allowed hackers to break into encrypted messaging applications like Signal and Telegram and to turn Samsung smart TVs into listening devices. 2 days after, okay, so that's let's look at that one more time. WikiLeaks had announced back in February of 2017, a couple months before Pompeo went up there and started saying that WikiLeaks is an intelligence operation that is connected with the Russians. In February, about a month after Donald Trump got into office, WikiLeaks announced a forthcoming release of a major tranche of CIA files revealing details of the agency's hacking and electronic surveillance tools. One such spying application called Marble allowed the CIA spies to implant code that obfuscated their identity on computers they had hacked. Other files contained evidence of programs that allowed hackers to break into encrypted messaging applications like Signal and Telegram and to turn Samsung TVs into listening devices. 2 days after WikiLeaks' initial announcement of this, on February 28th, Morales was junketed from Spain to a hotel in Alexandria, Virginia, just a stone's throw from CIA headquarters in Langley. Though this UC Global had no publicly known contracts with any company in Virginia, court documents obtained by the Gray Zone established that Morales sent encrypted emails from an Alexandria IP address and paid bills from a local hotel for the next 8 days. So he's in a hotel in Alexandria, Virginia, meeting with CIA after the WikiLeaks announced that it would be releasing intelligence about the CIA using hacking and surveillance tools, being able to go on people's Signal and Telegram accounts and hack them and go on and turn their smart TVs from Samsung into listening devices. So how many Americans were they doing this to? That's a constitutional violation. That's a criminal act. And when they released that, Morales was brought over from Spain to Alexandria to meet with CIA people for 8 days. From that point on, he traveled back and forth almost each month between Spain and the D.C. area, New York City, Chicago, or the Las Vegas base of Adelson's operations. So here's this guy, Morales, flying around D.C., New York City, Chicago, or the Las Vegas base, doing counter-espionage against Julian Assange, who he had promised to help protect in the Ecuadorian embassy. That's Morales. That's the U.S. CIA. That's 1 month after Trump gets into office. When in D.C., Morales sent emails from a static IP address at the Grand Hyatt Hotel just 4 blocks from the White House. The Instagram posts of Morales' wife and travel partner, Noella Paez, highlighted the frequency of his trips. Fellow UC Global began to grow suspicious of Morales and his secret dealings in the U.S. And there's a picture here of Morales with a picture of Trump Tower in Vegas. And he's got a picture here with his wife. According to their testimonies, these are employees of UC Global who didn't like what Morales is doing, the hypocrisy and the betrayal. According to their testimonies, he spoke constantly about his working relationship with the Americans. Yet UC Global had been contracted by Ecuador's intelligence agency, SENAIN, to provide security to the country's embassy in London, not to spy on its occupants. So Ecuador and its intelligence agency had contracted with Morales and UC Global to protect their embassy in London. And instead, this guy commits treason against Ecuador, betrays them, betrays their contract, betrays Julian Assange. Incidentally, betrays that soil is Ecuadorian soil. So Morales should be charged and executed for treason. He sold secrets. He became a spy for the Americans against the Ecuadorians. That's how I would charge him if I was the Ecuadorian prosecutor. I would charge him and execute Morales for treason against the Ecuadorian embassy because he betrayed them. He's a double agent. He is a double agent. It was increasingly clear to them that Morales was deceiving one client in Quito to serve a more powerful force in Washington. Quote, I remember that David Morales asked a person from the company to prepare a safe phone with safe applications, just like an encrypted computer to communicate with the American friends, quote unquote, to take his relationship with the U.S. out of the company's range. A former UC Global employee called. So he's trying to have conversation with the US CIA outside of UC Global employee apparatus. So he's going rogue against his own.
I think we have Tony.
So Tony, are you there with us, pal?
I am, Scott. Yeah, thanks. I had to completely ditch Skype and restart the phone.
No problem. What I've been reading is the story of Morales, the special forces guy who was in charge of the Ecuadorian embassy security that betrayed Ecuador by becoming a double agent for the U.S. CIA and betraying Julian Assange and giving them all the secrets about Julian Assange and the Ecuadorian embassy. Subsequently, he was charged and arrested by a Spanish court for betraying Julian Assange. But I'm going to hand it to you, Tony, to add in this great conspiracy and betrayal by Mike Pompeo, the CIA, Sheldon Adelson, the Jewish Zionist. And they betrayed Donald Trump to go again, allegedly. I'm giving Trump the benefit of the doubt, which is very rare these days. But they're going against Julian Assange and against the American people's wishes, who wanted Julian Assange and all of his information to be released so that they could see the enemies in their midst, their enemies in their own government, under Obama and Biden and the CIA deep state. The American people wanted to know everything that Julian Assange knows, and instead Mike Pompeo betrayed them, betrayed the president, and so did Sheldon Adelson, and they went after Julian Assange, and here we are today with this continued legal exploitation. Go ahead, Tony, fill in the gaps.
Okay, so we are in the situation now where, okay, so we're Wednesday now, tomorrow, Thursday, the 2 days of these hearings. We've got the COP26 in Glasgow starting at the weekend, going on for 10 days. We have had virtually zero about the Julian Assange case today on the news here, and lots of stuff about next week's COP26. So it just shows you the priority of the media, even though when he was operating with WikiLeaks, Julian was supplying them with some of the greatest stories they've ever had, such as, I'm not absolutely sure of the dates, I believe it was 2016 March, the Vault 7 release by WikiLeaks is one of the most devastating pieces of evidence against particularly the Central Intelligence Agency, but other related intelligence agencies, about what the capabilities were to do with hacking people's domestic and also industrial and transportation equipment. For example, in that Vault 7 release, we were told that there are capabilities that have been developed to, for example, hack into railway locomotives in order to make them go out of control and crash a train. There are capabilities of hacking vehicles. We know, don't we, in 2013, I think it was, the LA journalist Michael Hastings, his car appears to have been hacked into because there was film taken by local police of him past them with his brake lights on. So he obviously was standing on the brakes trying to slow the car down. But in the meantime, the car was fighting against him and accelerating up to 80 miles an hour and then swerving into a tree and killing him.
That's right.
So Vault 7 admitted hard evidence that these were definite capabilities that the Central Intelligence Agency and other related agencies, MI6 and Mossad, were developing and were prepared to use and are deliberately hardwired. There was another, I think, quite interesting one about the ability to hack aircraft. So, for example, the disappearing Malaysian airliner, MH370, that supposedly disappeared off the South China Sea on its way from Kuala Lumpur to Beijing. It's quite feasible that that aircraft could have been hacked remotely and actually steered over the Indian Ocean, steered down to, you know, remotely down to, say, 500 feet above the sea, skimming over the tops of any sea vessels that happen to be sailing around there, and then down past the Maldives, where it was sighted early in the next morning, and most probably down to Diego Garcia. And, you know, that's the sort of thing that Julian Assange was releasing. So this is very, I would suggest, very high-level military technology, the sort of stuff which would be most definitely covered by the level of top secret. So these are methods to assassinate people. of course, those methods we now know, although they were developed for use on enemies, for example, maybe the Russians, the Chinese, whoever the enemies might happen to be of the United States, although I don't think anyone would be foolhardy enough to take on a nuclear power. But what's been happening is those techniques which were developed for fighting enemies in a full-scale war have now been steered into subduing the domestic population. And so they're being used against political dissidents in the United States, as we saw, most probably with Michael Hastings, and we've seen with various other individuals over the years. But that's the sort of stuff that Julian Assange was coming out with. Really, you're quite right. It's your own deep state that he was showing out. And of course, it is also the increasingly, I think, fragile and fevered deep state in the United States and in the UK, which is making sure that Julian Assange is scapegoated. And that's actually really, I think, what's been going on here, Scott. The guy has been nailed to a cross. In fact, in Berlin, there was a mural painted, which I put up on my Facebook page, I think yesterday, of Julian Assange on a cross with a camera around his neck and you know, the words press written across his full front here. That really explains, I think, exactly what's going on today. And then it's really the end of the free press. I mean, that free press is going to be fighting. I would imagine there will be some efforts made to publish material which is critical of the oligarchy. But we're increasingly seeing the oligarchy taking a stranglehold on the press. We've seen that through the whole response to COVID-19, for example. We saw quite a lot of it during the Brexit campaign because most of the media outlets in the UK were anti-Brexit, even though the people were pro-Brexit, as it turned out, because there was a fantastic amount of money thrown at the Brexit, the Remain campaign. And even the British government spent a vast amount of British government money on trying to persuade the people to stay in the European Union. So there was the oligarchy wanted that. Then came COVID. And we've seen a terrific, I think, far more than anything that any of us have ever experienced in our lifetime. It's difficult to say about things like censorship during World War II and the First World War, but this is absolutely on that scale. The complete and utter censorship of treatments for COVID-19, the complete censorship on vaccine adverse reactions during COVID. And we've had the figures here in the UK now where it's nearly, well, I'm talking about 162,000. This is just in the UK. Adverse reactions and actually 162,000 deaths after having the COVID vaccination. That's some figures worked out from the Office of National Statistics by the former GCHQ whistleblower Catherine Gunn. And she believes that the techniques for measuring COVID, that is to say, you know, if you have had a death after between a month after having a positive COVID test, should be applied to the vaccine. Because what's happening is a lot of people are saying, hey, well, this is nothing to do with you having a vaccine. You just were going to die anyway. But, of course, they don't do that when someone tests positive for COVID. So all she's saying is we need to test like for like, and it looks as if the vaccine deaths in the UK, if you look at those statistics, have already outstripped deaths due to COVID. So anyway, I there's all sorts of things I could say, but I think that's a few of the thoughts in my mind at the trial of Julian Assange. Is the press is really just simply becoming part of, what could you call it, part of a cartel, part of a small group of companies, rather like those in Nazi Germany, that were dividing up the various contracts amongst each other. So when they win a contract, whether it's a press organisation, whether it's a big industry, where, say, for example, a railway construction project, a nuclear power construction project, these parts of the cartel, they all benefit because the work is divided up amongst the various bidders in that cartel. So we end up with completely shutting out any new people into the market, and that effectively is corporatism. That is big corporations, cartels, actually selecting who is going to be in charge politically and also selecting policy. And what we've seen is very, very little criticism by the press of that sort of thing, Scott.
Tony, what's very alarming to me as well is the application of British intelligence in psychological warfare to develop memes and messages and communication strategies to influence the British public, to frighten them and terrify them into following COVID-19 lockdown measures. They weaponized the information system against the British people. This was the MI6 and the MI5, and the British government under Boris Johnson weaponizing information against the British people, lying to them to lock down and be cowering and afraid of COVID-19.
Well, the trouble is, I think we were kind of hit with an incredibly powerful piece of momentum. So that is to say that people were not understanding what was going on and having very little real option as to what direction to take. And that,
that's
of course,
right.
is a classic psychological warfare technique where you're basically bamboozling people who are kept in ignorance.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
We'll talk with you next week. God bless you. Be safe.
Did you ever feel that things were not quite right? That everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Hi, everybody. It's me, the Fetch, host of Inside the Eye Live. Before the Sunday mainstream media, political pundit talk shows, there is Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
Many years from now, would you be...